Father, we bless you. We thank you. We glorify your name. I thank you so much, Father, for the blood of Jesus, that we have been reconciled and to you. Not only are you our God, but you are our Father. Reconciled to you by the blood, by the death and resurrection of one man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We thank you, Father, and we worship you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. What are you going to talk about? I don't have a clue. Hallelujah. And I'm laughing, I'm smiling. Don't know who's here, don't know who isn't here. Hi. Pretty dresses, all right. Pastor Bronx got a dress on too? Hallelujah. Well, I've been taking some journeys through the Word of God lately everywhere. Proverbs, my favorite book. Philippians is my favorite book. 2 Timothy. Proverbs is a masterpiece full of proverbs. Just the stuff in Proverbs just consumes me. Things like, he that has knowledge spareth his words. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. One that Pastor Bronco loved the most, that it's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious woman. Of course, it's talking about, it's not, see, you guys are judging Miss Candy. It's talking about the operation of the flesh, of the soul. You're wrong. That's wrong on your part. Pastor, did you say amen when I said that, Pastor Bronk? He didn't say, you didn't say nothing? Why, is Miss Candy sitting next to you? Yes, she is. But Proverbs is a masterpiece. You know, some of the things that Solomon comes up with, like, you know, he that has no rule over his spirit is like a city broken down, having no walls. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth, and it's incredible. He that covereth the transgression seeketh love. He that repeateth the matter repeateth. He that covereth the transgression seeketh love. He that repeateth the matter separateth his very friends. It's amazing what the word of God is just amazing. Philippians and 2 Timothy, books of endurance. I even read Song of Solomon today 4 times. What'd you get out of it? Nothing. I got out of it that the temple of the beloved is like half of a pomegranate. What does that mean? I don't have a clue. I got out of it that he has locks. One thing I got out of Song of Solomon is that he had a revelation somewhat of the love of the Father, or the love of the Lord. It's pretty incredible. But I'm just happy, excited. Can I get real spiritual with you for a little bit? Just real quick. You know, the glory, there's glory at it. Every time you come out of every fast, there's glory in it. There's a lot of glory in it. And to me, the glory out of coming out of every fast is in a plastic bag called Cheetos. You know, you just can't wait to come out of a fast, because they got the puffy ones, the hot ones, the cheap ones where you get about 3,000 for a dollar from the 99-cent store. But I just got a passion and a craving for Cheetos, and it's incredible. On a serious note, though, I'm so glad to know what we know. So glad that we're taught what we're taught. You may not be able to tell now by looking at the empty seats, but one day, the glory of the Father will be made manifest in this town, and all will know that Jesus Christ is Lord because of the glory that will abide here. Because there's men and women that love Christ and consider their life nothing, consider themselves having no rights just to serve the King. And I love coming here. I love my pastors. I love what we're taught. I'm just completely mesmerized by the glory that comes, the emotional battles that come, of course, which I won't go into detail, but the end of everything is victory. The end of every single battle, emotional battle. See, we're blessed to live in this country because we're not persecuted for our faith. We can hold our Bibles. I mean, they're trying to persecute us slowly, but surely they're trying to. We can say the name of Jesus anywhere. We can hold the Bible almost anywhere, and we're not persecuted yet. It'll come, I'm sure, but the only real persecution that we battle now is the persecution of the mind by the enemy, but that's okay, because we win. We win. And I just love books like 2 Timothy and Philippians and just books of endurance. I like talking to a certain person. I talked to a certain person today. And I knew a particular thing happened. I just knew it. And I called this person today. Who is it? None of your business, like Gary Carpenter says. I talked to this person, and I knew what was going on in the spirit. But you know what I did know? You know what I loved about this conversation? I like talking to this person because I know one thing. I know one thing, and I don't say it about many people. I know this person is a warrior. And I know it doesn't matter what comes at this individual. I know that he stands stronger and stronger every day. And I rejoice hearing that the Satan comes at him. I rejoice hearing that because I know and I know 100 times over that this person stands. I know that he stands. I know that she stands. I know that he stands. And that brings me great comfort. Great comfort. When certain times come in my life where I feel a tremendous battle, I just go into Philippians and 2 Timothy. I just dive into them. Books of endurance, books of affliction, I just dive into them. January 24th of this year, something happened to me again. I received a great, a beautiful, a nice promotion at work. Nice promotion at work with a lot of immediate financial possibilities. Immediate. I was already thinking, oh, my wife isn't going to work. Get to get some money to the church. Oh, my God, thank you, Jesus. You know, I started doing the peanut butter jelly, all excited. Happy. 2 weeks after that, bam. First week, I was a little scared. I ain't going to lie. I said, oh, my God, how can this happen, man? Here's this job that I'm going to get that I have now that's once in a lifetime, and this happens. This dropped on me. All of a sudden, what'd you do? Well, for the first week, I took the care. And then doing what I'm taught to do by my pastor, I figured if I worked 8-9 hours a day, and I'm getting to a point with this. I figured if I could work 8 or 9 hours a day, I figured I could commit that time to the Lord through prayer. So I went into my prayer closet with the mindset, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to press in as much as I can to believe what Jesus Christ has done already. Which according to Matthew 8, it said he healed all of them of their sickness to fulfill the words of Isaiah that he took our infirmities and he bore our sickness. He healed all of their sickness. He healed all of their sickness, fulfilling the words of Isaiah that said that he took our infirmities and he bare our sickness. Now I asked the Holy Ghost, I said, Holy Ghost, what does our include? Who is included in our? What's included in our? What does it equivocate? What does our equal? Well, he gave me the answer. The verse before, he said he took our infirmities and he bore our sickness. All equals our. Our. Our, what is it? Our equals all, and all equals our. And you know who's included in all? Me and you. Me and you equals all. All equals our. That means every single infirmity that we could ever face has been dealt with at the cross of Jesus Christ. So I went into my closet with the mindset, I'm going to pray, I'm going to do whatever I got to do to believe God for this miracle. And it's still coming, I'm still believing God, but something else happened. Something else happened. I begged my son, my older son, I begged him for the last years. I said, son, quit being a girly man, play football. He didn't play football. Waited until his senior year to play football. He's played 4 games. I haven't seen him one time. I'm there next to people in the game. What did he do? Nothing. He got ran over. I said, okay, I didn't want to know that. But he missed a tackle. Okay, don't tell me that part. But my point is this. Jobs by the wayside. And I'm the girly man. I don't work. And I send my wife off to work every day now, so I'm the girly man. But what I've gained in my spirit, but what I've gained in my marriage, but what I've gained in loving Christ and loving people more is more than any job could ever pay me. My cars got smaller. My budget got smaller. But the love for my Lord and Savior is at an all-time high, and it will not cease. My love for people is at an all-time high, and it will never cease. I never knew that I could fall in love with a man this much, and his name is Jesus Christ. I never knew it. I never knew it. I almost had the American dream right before me with this new job that I had. You know what I love about this? That my wife is right there with me, not fazed by nothing. That's what Jesus can do for you. I'm not claiming a vow of poverty. By no means, because we know that Christ bore that for me and you. So we wouldn't have to walk in poverty. But what I'm saying is, it doesn't matter. My marriage has gone to an all-time high. My love for my children is incredible. My love for you is incredible. Being subservient to my pastors, reach another level. Is just, there's something that the Holy Ghost has done in me where I know what I'm supposed to do. It doesn't matter what comes at me. I've never been so secure in my faith. What faith? In the faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what I have or what I don't have. I got an iPhone that has my Bible on it, and I can hear it all day long just because I want to. I can pray in tongues all day long just because I want to. I can lift up my hands and worship Jesus all day long just because I want to. Nothing can hinder our operation. Nothing. Nothing can hinder it. Nothing in the world can hinder it. Nothing. There's not one Benjamin Franklin that makes me smile anymore. I smile because my spirit has been lit. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, and there's a peace in my heart that I did not know existed. It's come at a price. But I do it all over again. This, it's coming. In the natural, it doesn't look like it, but you know what? It starts in your heart. If I judged my healing by what I see or don't see in the mirror, I'd never get it. But see, faith is rising up in here. In here. It's rising up in here. Where I know that it's coming. So my exhortation to you would be, encounter this man named Jesus Christ. What seems impossible right now to you is possible. What seems impossible, what seems to be so huge of a mountain that you'll never climb it, oh my God, you lift up your hands in adversity. Solomon said in Proverbs, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. My friends, my strength isn't small. It isn't small. I'm not going to faint in adversity. I'm going to dig deep. I'm going to dig deep. I'm going to dig deep. And fall in love with my God and my King. And my wife is right there with me. The car's got smaller. She don't even care. We call it her little Cadillac. It's a 19, what year is it? Or 2000 or what? 2006 Kia. It's got an AC and it runs. And she's happy. It runs. And for her birthday, she wanted to go to Chick-fil-A. I said, yes. Well, we've upgraded now to Pollo Tropical. Now that's a new restaurant now. The point I'm making is we're happy. Extremely happy. Very happy. Estoy bien gustoso. I don't know how to say it in Creole. How do you say it in Creole, Alex? He don't know. He's too modernized. He's a modernized puppy. How do you say it in Creole, Carl? Ublusuka, blusuku. Can I say it again? Ublusuku, dusuku, dusu. The truth in all this is, and my God is infallible. And regarding my son watching him play football, We're going to record the games. And when I get my eyesight back, I'm going to watch them. Hey, right? What gives? I still get to hold him every day. I get to kiss him and hug him and tell him I love him every day. I still get to have Bible studies with him. Hallelujah, right? I get to lift up my hands during worship, don't I? I get to hear this man of God minister God's word, don't I? Life is grand. It's grand, and I'm not crying because I'm sad. I'm crying because he's alive. David said, the Lord liveth. The Lord liveth. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation, he said, let him be exalted. He said, the Lord liveth. He said, blessed be my rock. He said, let the God of my salvation, let him be exalted. Our God isn't dead, man. He isn't dead. He's alive. He wants to reveal his arm to you. He wants to show you his strength and his valor. He wants to consume you with his agape. He wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost continually. Everything that I go through in the spirit, I mean, I've committed my life to him now. It's just, there's no turning back. There's no turning back. I have the most respect that I ever have for my pastor now than I ever have in my life. I used to see him walking from his office to the house all the time, looking straight down all the time. Why don't that man look up when he walks? Walking home. Like he was saying, oh, hey, beep, beep. Hey, he picked up his hand real quick. But I knew and I know now what kind of disposition he had. Go home, get a sandwich, come back, get back into prayer. By not saying nothing, he taught me. You don't know. You do know and you don't know what we have here. See, I can brag. He can't brag about himself, but I can brag about him. Usually what he doesn't say has been a testimony unto me about his lifestyle. The Lord is amazing. I have the utmost respect for the book of Philippians and 2 Timothy and 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Well, I call him the apostle of many pearls. I named him that. Myself, the apostle of many pearls. Is that not a good name for the apostle Paul? Let me go back a little bit into the shadow. Lord, help me remember this. This is a long psalm. And I'm not going to teach on this psalm. I'm just going to exhort on it a little bit. And then we're going to go into a couple verses of Philippians. And we should be done by 11 o'clock. I'm just playing. David said, our forefather in Psalms 27. You can go if you want. I'm going there. You hear the pages? No, Psalms 27, 26, 27. There it is, Pastor Brown. I found it. David says, David the giant killer. So the Lord is my light. Listen to what he said now. Listen, I'm not going to teach on it. I'm not going to break it down. I'm just going to take a little something out of there. We're going to go on to something real quick. David said, the Lord is my light. Currently, he didn't say he's going to be, right? He said, the Lord is what? My light, currently. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. He said, of whom shall I what? Fear. Listen to what he said. The Lord is my light currently. He didn't confess it to believe it. He believed it, so he confessed it. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. When the wicked, mine enemies, and my foes came upon me, they stumbled and fell. Though an host may encamp about me, my heart, said, though an host may encamp about me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this will I be confident. And that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. He said, therefore, in your tabernacle, I will offer sacrifices of joy. He said, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. There's an awesome teaching there, but I'm not going to go into it. We're going to go to one part of that where he says, the war may rise against me, and this will I be confident, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Now, you heard me say it before. This is not talking about a physical habitation. It's talking about a position that David had with Jehovah God. He said, you are Jehovah. I have your law. This is what I abide by. This is a standing that I have. The standing that I have with you, my desire every day is to live where you live, Jehovah. It wasn't a physical tabernacle. It was something in his soul, a place of living, a place of abundance inside of him. He said, there's war. They come upon me to eat up my flesh. They encamp about me. He said, I have confidence in one thing. One thing do I have confidence in. And the thing that I have confidence in, that will I seek after. What do you have confidence in, David, that you're going to seek? He said that I, King David, may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Shadow. We dwell with God every day through Christ Jesus. David said, I am the steward. I am the steward of how often I entertain Jehovah God. I am the steward of it. If there's one desire that we can have of God, I have one desire of you. I want you daily. Do you think God's going to turn that request down and that desire? Sure, son, you can have all of me if you want me. David said, I am a steward. That's why I don't fear when I'm surrounded. My heart shall not fear. My mind, my will, my intellect, and my emotions, they're saturated when I dwell in his tabernacle, when I seek him out of my soul, when I lift up my hands and worship him. I'm saturated into all that God is. That's why my heart does not fear, because my heart goes with me into this spiritual tabernacle where I consume the law and I lift up my hands and worship God. This is a desire that I have daily, he said. I'm a steward of how much of Jehovah I can have to an extent. I'm a steward of how much of the law I read. I'm a steward, David said, of how much I lift up my hands when it's going good and in adversity. I'm a steward of it. I control what I do in God. You can't steward it. He could steward it himself. Nobody else can steward your anointing. Nobody else can steward what you do. Nobody can. Nobody can steward what you do. No one can steward what I do. Nobody can. You steward what you do in God, and I'm a steward of what I do in God. I steward how much I pray. I steward how much I fast. I steward how much I worship. I steward how much I want to lay in the bosom of Christ. I do. I can't steward it for you. I had a meeting the other day with the elders of the church, and my hands were real clean. They were clean, and my motives were pure. But I can't make anybody come to church on time. That I thought about after the fact. I can't steward what you do. Though my hands were clean, my motives were clean. That's something that people got to do out of subjection to the pastor and to the Holy Ghost. And I had to ask, Lord, forgive me, Lord. My intentions weren't bad, Father. But I can't tell you what to do. That's between you and the Holy Ghost. I know what he's called me to do. I know I steward what I walk in. I steward if I'm going to wake up in the morning and spend time with Jesus Christ. I steward that. I can't steward what you do. You steward it. I can steward how I'm going to come out of persecution. I can steward that. I can steward if I'm going to endure affliction. I can steward that. I can. Especially as a born-again Holy Ghost believer, you're darn right I can steward it. I can steward whether I take an offense or not. I can steward that. I can steward that. I can steward whether I give an offense. I can steward that. I can steward it. I can steward how many hours I pray in the Holy Ghost every day. I steward that. I do. You don't. I do. And if I steward it, and if what I'm saying is true, then there's hope for me and you. I can steward how often I put the spoon down and how much I push the plate back. I steward that. I do. I can steward whether to take the care when I lose a job. I can steward that. I steward that. My emotions are subservient to my spirit. Paul knew a thing about spirit versus flesh as he wrote the masterpiece of Galatians. Let me tell you one thing, right? It would be a cold day in hell, an abundantly freezing, sleety day in hell, when the operation that's been positionally put to death, the flesh, can consume and beat an operation that has the life of God in it, which is our spirit. It'll be a cold day in hell when the flesh has dominion over our spirit. It doesn't have the power. How can something that's been positionally put to death have dominion over something that has the life of God in it, man? We steward that. I steward it. You steward it. Do you know what operation we have inside of us? So when I call this person, I know they're a warrior. I like hearing them. I like laughing. Because I know the disposition of this person. I know it. I know he or she is in it for the long haul. I know it. I like hearing it. I laugh. But I laugh. You know why I laugh? Because I know my friend is at attention as a good soldier, striving lawfully. I know he's standing. I know it. And I know the comfort this person brings me by knowing what he or she is going through. I know it. I'm getting a little bit myself. So I can appreciate the book of Philippians. I can appreciate the book of 2 Timothy. I appreciate them so much more now. I can appreciate those books so much more. Words like when Paul says, Lord, help me remember these, Lord. I know you will. You know, Paul, our father in the faith, says that Paul was in the Tullian keep in human dung up to his waist. And though nothing in Scripture says that he was in human waste, but if Pastor Dave said it, I'd have to go with it. Because you know him the way I know him. He wouldn't say it if he didn't believe it. You know the story of Paul and Tullian keep in prison? Human dung. Why? Oh, because he was a believer in Jesus Christ. So at certain times in my life, when certain pressure comes on me, automatically that propane power generator just jumps into Philippians and 2 Timothy. Here I go into Philippians and 2 Timothy. Here I go. And I can appreciate the statements in the Bible verses and the mindset of Paul in Philippians. I can appreciate what he went through. And I like reading what he went through. I like reading where he received the mark of the Jews 5 times, the 40 lashes minus one, that he was beaten with stones 3 times or 2 times and shipwrecked and beaten with rods and pearls of his own countrymen of the Gentiles. And I like reading that. You know why I like reading it? Because he endured it as a man born again. He endured every single bit of it. And if he endured it, we can endure it. Why? Because he was a steward of what he did for God. He was a... Paul made me mad. He writes Philippians in human dung up to his waist. And I think about what he writes, and I think about what he's in and what he's enduring. And then I hear the common excuses in the body of Christ of why this and that happens. And I say, my God, here he is in prison, Paul the aged. And he writes things like, brother, the things that happened unto me, have happened out unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are made manifest to the whole palace guard. Basically saying, I'm in prison for the gospel's sake. Boys, even in this human dung, I'm leading them to Jesus Christ. Paul, how dare you? You act like you're born again, Paul. You act like you got the Holy. You act like you pray in tongues, Paul. Who do you think you are, Paul? How dare you cause a revival in human dung? Who do you think you are? You act like you've been up to the third heaven. Who do you think you are, Paul? Who do you think you are telling me in chapter 2 to do all things without murmuring and disputing? You may be harmless, blameless children of God in a perverse generation, holding fast to the word of life, being without rebuke in a wicked and perverse generation, holding fast the word of life. Who do you think you are, Paul, telling me to do all things without murmuring and disputing, that I may be harmless, blameless children of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the Lord, holding fast the word of God? Who do you think you are telling me how to live? You act like you're born again. You act like you got the Holy Ghost. You act like you're walking in peace. How dare you tell me in chapter 3 or chapter 4 to rejoice in the Lord? And again, I say rejoice. How dare you tell me to let your moderation be known unto all men that the Lord is in hand? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, Homer, by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, Homer, let it guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How dare you tell me that, Paul? I think Paul read Psalms 27 once or twice. The shadow. David said, I'm a steward of this. So was Paul. He concluded in his life that his life was not his own. How dare him cause a revival, Pastor Bronk, in prison? How dare him lead somebody to Jesus in prison? How dare him? How dare him in prison in human dung, receiving of the Jews of 40 lashes minus one? How dare him being stoned and being shipwrecked and being in fasting, he's often hungry? How dare him being cold and naked? How dare him being beaten with rods? How dare him tell me how to live? Doesn't he know what I'm going through? Doesn't he know I can't see my son play football? How dare you, Paul? How dare you tell me what to do? You act like you're born again. You act like you know the power of the born again spirit. You act like you're a man that prays in the Holy Ghost and allows the Holy Spirit to present the inheritance of Jesus Christ, of God the Father in you. You act like you know what's going on. How dare you, Paul? How dare you? How dare you say in prison, by the way, salute all the brethren. When in the church, we ignore each other. How dare you write this masterpiece in Philippians? How dare you instruct me, Paul? How dare you instruct me? How dare you, Paul? Who do you think you are? You act like sin has no dominion over you, Paul. You act like it doesn't. How dare you, man? You act like the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. How dare you? So self-centered, egotistical, he was not. He was not. Saying things in Philippians like, I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge of Christ Jesus. What does he think he is, Miss Gay, saying things like that? Who does he think he is? Saying, I have all and abound. How dare him? Doesn't he know what the modern day church goes through? Doesn't he know what we go through here? How dare him write in 2 Timothy said, I'm suffering as an evildoer, even unto chains. He said, but the word of God, he said, it's not bound. He said, therefore I endure all things for the very elect's sake, that they may basically come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He said, I'm in bonds, in chains. They got me, they want me to shut up. They want me to stop testifying of Jesus Christ. So they got me in chains and shackles and fetters. 2 Timothy chapter 2. He said, but Timothy, this operation that we have, it cannot be bound. It cannot be stopped. I'm bound, Timothy. I'm in bonds, I'm in fetters, I'm in chains. But what lives inside of me and you, the spirit of glory and of God, 1 Peter, that lives inside of me and you, that operation, it cannot be bound. You might bind me up as a man in the natural, but you cannot stop the operation of my spirit, Timothy. Know this, Timothy. You have not received the spirit of fear, Timothy, but of what? And a sound mind. He said, by this spirit, you endure all afflictions. He said, I'm suffering as an evildoer, Timothy. There's a lot of meat there that I can't go into, a lot of meat there. About the husband that laboreth and receiving the fruits of the harvest. There's a lot there. So I hibernate in these books. I just go into these books and I pour into my spirit over and over again. When feelings come, when adversity comes in the spirit, when accusations come against my faith by Mr. Stupid, Satan, I just hide in Philippians and 2 Timothy. And I imagine myself there. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. You may be blameless and harmless children of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the Lord, holding fast the word of life. Paul, be quiet. You act like you're born again, man. You act like you're filled with the Holy Ghost. You act like the spirit inside of you has dominion over your flesh, Paul. It seems like you live a life that it's a one-sided affair where the spirit dominates the flesh at all times, Paul. Don't you know what I'm going through here on earth in modern-day USA? Don't you know what I'm going through here, Paul? How dare you? How dare you instruct me out of prison in human dung? How dare you complain of only having, you've only been flogged 5 times, Paul. Only 5 times were you beaten with a mark of the Jew. Only 5 times, Paul. You're not qualified to tell me what to do, buddy. You're not qualified, Paul. You've only been beaten with rods 2 or 3 times, Paul. Be quiet, please. He was stoned, not the kind of stone that the modern day church gets stoned by, but he was stoned by real rocks. Shipwrecked. In perils of his countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles. Just read 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He lays it all there. Why are you saying this? To let you know there's nothing on the face of this world that can stop me and you. Because we steward how much of the Lamb of God we can have. We steward that, man. We steward it. 2 Timothy, a masterpiece. It's my favorite book. This next 5 minutes is my favorite book. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Help me remember it, Lord. You know, one little confession that we can add to ourselves, and I add it all the time when Satan comes with accusations. And I think it's recorded in John 2 or 3 times. where the Jews tried to take the life of Jesus. But John recorded, but his time was not what? Yet. You know, we can fulfill our ministry in God. I tell myself on a consistent basis, I will not die of sickness. If I die, I'll be martyred. I'll be raptured. But if I'm raptured, I won't die. Or I'll go home in my bed asleep with my Bible on my bosom like my grandmother. That's where my grandmother died. She died on her bed with her Bible on her bosom. I will not go home with sickness. And if I do go home with sickness, it wasn't because it was his will. It was because I didn't believe what his will was for me. I won't start a doctrine that it wasn't his will to heal me. That's why I died. No, I'd rather die than start that doctrine. Somebody told my mother that in Texas. They told my mother that. They said, the cancer that you're carrying the cross of Christ. They told my mother that. So if I go home with sickness, don't let it be known. And I'm as healthy as I've ever been, so I'm not planning on croaking in the next day or two. I'm saying that to say this. We can finish our course. We can die for the faith. We can be raptured. We can go home when we're done. No pain. Prison cannot hinder us. Chains, fetters cannot hinder us. Sewage places like the Tulian Keep cannot hinder us. We are a steward of what we do. We are stewards of it. You want proof? Read Philippians. How else could a man endure sewage, human waste, up to his waist, and write an epistle to comfort a church? How else could a man live in human dung and suffer so much, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and write to us words of exhortation, edification, and comfort? How dare him think that he can comfort me in the modern day church? How dare you, Paul? How dare you? Once you go through Philippians and 2 Timothy, you won't complain again. If you do, then you're egotistical. Then you're self-centered, as I have been many times in my life. These words in closing, these words, and I heard my father in the faith say it, and I've been glued to these words probably for 15, 16 years. I've been glued to them. I can't ever leave them. Paul the aged, he calls himself in Corinthians, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Here it is. He writes you these words that just almost bring me to tears every time. You know, 2 Timothy, he's the last epistle that he wrote, so I think, before he goes on and is beheaded by Nero in Rome, according to history. He's writing this last epistle to Timothy, instructing Timothy of how to handle and administrate the body of Christ. One thing he told Timothy is, hold fast the form of sound words. Boy, did Paul nail that one, huh? Because sound words, sound doctrine in the corporate body of Christ, they seem to not exist anymore. Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words. Hold fast to sound doctrine, Timothy. About 2 years, I almost got carried away to an extent, but I caught myself right away where I said a couple times, this is not about doctrine. It's about Jesus. Well, 1 Timothy says different. 2 Timothy says different. Titus says different. Philippians says different. Galatians says different, and the Lamb of God said different. He said, boys, watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees. Yes. false doctrine is in the church like never before. But we got the masterpiece, the Word of God. We got 1 and 2 Timothy to help me and you. We got men of God here that you know present the truth to you. Because the hours that they labor in every day praying in the Holy Ghost. So Paul, I salute you, my friend. In your masterpiece of Philippians. How you endured all. 2 Timothy. He said, anyone that desires to live a godly life in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But he wrote these words, Paul the aged. And I love reading them. Every time I read them, hear them, same thing. I just think. Those have to be my words when I'm done. Those will be my words when I'm done. Either I'll be martyred. I mean it. Either I'll be martyred, I'll be raptured, or I'll go home when I'm done. You say martyred. Do you want to be martyred? No. Who wants to be martyred? You might. I don't. But what I'm saying is, there's a point of loving him so much where it doesn't matter. Homer, will you renounce Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? That or face death? Homer, you know what our government says now. No more Bibles are allowed. I heard you're having a Bible study with some people in your church and your sons and your daughters at your house, Homer. Open up the door. Who is it? So-and-so. Give me your Bible, Homer. Well, sir, I can't do it. Renounce your faith, son. Renounce your faith, Homer. Sorry, sir. Can't do it. I'm going to ask you one more time in a nice manner. Give us your Bibles. Renounce your faith. Or one of your boys, or one of your daughters, or your wife, or you. One of you is going to be an offering today. Somebody's soul is going to be taken today. Renounce your faith. Or little David will be beheaded. Renounce your faith. Renounce it. Or your wife will be beheaded. Not that that's going to happen. I'm proving a point here that there's a place of loving him where nothing matters. What will you do? Right now, I don't know. I can't be hypocritical. If I keep going and doing what I'm doing now, I know what I'll do in the future. Or maybe even do it now. Renounce your faith. Give me your Bibles. This Bible study cannot go on again. You got 5 minutes to make a decision. Give me one of your sons, your daughters, or your wife, or you. Somebody's going to be offered up today. Somebody is. There's going to be blood today, Homer. Make up your mind. You got 5 minutes. Little David. Big Elijah. Daniel. Julie. I gotta say my mother-in-law, because she's always at the house all the time. Washing clothes at 5 o'clock in the morning while I'm praying. Washing machine going crazy everywhere. Baby Jalen. Seventh grade sweetheart. I gotta go.
No, Dad, no. I'll go, no. Sit down, Nathaniel. I'm 46 years old. I'm halfway gone. I'll go, son. Live strong, boys. Live strong. I love you, sweetheart. This agony will just be for a moment. Because when I wake up from death, I'll be with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's an analogy of where we want to go, of how much we want to love Him. That's all. That's all. Paul said this before he went home. Help me remember this, Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians, 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said, I am not ready to be offered up. This is Paul writing. I'm not ready to be offered up. The time of my departure is at hand. Isn't what he said before Nero beheaded him in Rome, according to Jewish history? I'm not ready to be offered up. The time of my departure is at hand. Listen to what he said. Listen to what he said. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I've finished my course. He said, Timothy, this last epistle is my last bit of instruction towards you. I'm not ready to be offered up. The time of my departure is at hand. He said, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. Listen to what he said. Listen to what he said. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto me. Not only unto me, but unto all those that believe in his appearing. Can you imagine what Paul was introduced to in heaven when he gave up the last breath? Can you imagine what kind of reward he had with the Lamb of God? So our disposition should be, and I tell you here tonight, closing. A bunch of us are outcasts here. We were. But our disposition should be that, our mindset should be that we got to finish this thing, man. We got to finish it. We got to keep the faith, finish this course, and fight a good fight. Because on the other end of all this, the Lamb of God will look me and you eyeball to eyeball. If he could just give me a nod, it'll be okay. Like, son, you gave it all you had. So Philippians and 2 Timothy have absolutely, positively changed my life. What do you do? I read them, hear them, and pray in tongues. Really? Really? How many times? I don't even count anymore. Till I feel it abundant in me. What are you looking for, home in this? Were you looking for glory of being martyred? Nah. Nah. I'd rather die choking on a Chick-fil-A sandwich than die a martyr. But there is a cause. There is a cause. We are stewards of what we do and what we don't do in God. We're stewards of it. We endure. Why? Because He endured. In his humanity, he endured in his humanity. When he overcame affliction and persecution, he didn't do it in his deity. He did it as a man. If my Lord and Savior did it as a man, me and you can do it as men and women. In this we do rejoice. We win. We win. Remember that next time you think life is being unfair to you. And I'm not saying that what you go through isn't important. Of course it is. But in comparison to true persecution of the early church, in comparison, there is no what? Comparison. So what do, Homer? I'll get up in the morning and do the same thing I did today. Build my faith up. Lift up my hands a little bit. Push back a meal a little bit. And lay down in the bosom of Jesus Christ. See, I want to feel his heartbeat, my friends. I want to feel it. I want to hear it. I want to feel the breath from his nostrils. I want to feel what John felt in John 13. I'm going to go through the Song of Solomon over and over. I'm going to get that book. I'm going to break it. Might take a few years, but I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it right. Because there's something there that the Holy Ghost wants to show me about my beloved. Like I tell you, every time that I minister God's word, come with me, man. Come with us on this journey. Come with us on this journey. He is worth dying for. We have found a pearl of great price. Amen. Pastor.
Hallelujah. Will you just lift your hands and let's just worship God for a moment. Father, we thank you. We praise you because we know that we've heard the truth, and the truth will make us free, Lord. That truth that made us free was the truth of our born-again nature, the hour that we became born again, and I thank you for it. But every time that we hear that truth that set us free, it renews that faith and strength inside of us. So we give you glory, Lord. We praise you and thank you for what we've heard tonight. And we receive it with all thanksgiving in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. We love you. How many feel blessed tonight? Praise God. There'll be offering basket up here for you. So it's available for you to give before you leave here tonight. Hallelujah. How many feel like you've been edified? You're going to, it just makes me want to pray more. Amen. Spend more time with Jesus. Hallelujah. And spend more time in the Word. Hallelujah. Praise God. How many of you appreciate that recall that God has given Homer on the Word? Isn't it amazing? It really is. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we all have that capacity. We all have the capacity. Every one of us. He's not special. He's not special. You just have to spend the time in there, and it'll come out. It'll just start coming out. Hallelujah. We love you. Candy and I love you. So stand with us tonight. Praise the Lord. If you have something to give tonight, please bring it forward. We bless you, Father. We bless them. We pray that you'll bless them. Put your hand upon them tonight. We give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.